Well, Lord, I pray your word, Lord, your living word, would be just such a, Lord, a lamp unto our feet and always a light in our path, Lord. And the truth in it, you would always be revealing in our hearts. Pray. Amen. These lights, one thing that it has done is just made it much brighter, the light, which I just really think that moving into this season, we've heard so many prophetic words. That's one of the things the Lord has been speaking to me is about just the revelation of truth of our identity will be just become greater and greater, right? And everything flows from that, who we are, and we'll be learning that for eternity. And scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it does say the God of this world blinds them. We always think the God of this world blinds the mind so people won't get saved. Well, that's true, but it says he blinds the mind so that they may not see the glory of God in the face of Christ. So is this blinding our warfare on so many levels, but one of them is to always keep you and I blinded. These are Christians he's talking to, right? It's to keep us blinded to who Christ is, who he is foundationally, who we are in him, because as we grow in that, that's when we become more free, right? So there's this thought, wow, that's a real revelation there, Lord. So it says the God who does that, he'll bring, you know, just constantly shining in darkness to call this forth in us and who he is and who we are in him. So I just think that this is a prophetic sign to us of the upcoming season or days and years that we have laying ahead of us of this is going to get brighter and brighter. Right? Even in the world, Isaiah reminds us that the darkness will get darker, which it has, right? And the light will get brighter. And many things the Holy Spirit told Paul, and it's probably weird for people to read that in the last days, what's good would be called evil and what's evil would be called good, right? And we're seeing a lot of that kind of unfold before us. So, but the cool thing is that the light's going to get brighter, and it is. And just a personal word for us. Just, you know, some days you have those days where you're just kind of flipping around. The Lord just speaks to you kind of wherever you land, just kind of sovereignly designed. I guess he's got some kind of angel page flippers there helping you, making sure you stop on these particular places. And underlined several verses in the Old Testament. I forgot what we were doing in one of our Bible studies, but it's just about just who God is. You have several guys speaking. Moses, Nehemiah, Joel, who's the other guy? Jonah, even, was upset with the Lord because he knew who the Lord was and what he intended to do, and was upset because that's not what he wanted. But they all say about the same thing. But I would, in our union with Christ and with him, you know, as we get to encounter who God is, right? And this is what it says. And I'm just going to read this one in Nehemiah, and there's several other places marked, but they all say pretty much the same thing. And this is Nehemiah in his prayer, just kind of a prayer of repentance. And it says, they refused to listen, do not remember your wondrous deeds that you had performed among them. And they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. It's talking about the time when they were, when Moses was on the mountain and they were looking to go back. It says, but you are, this is a God, your God of forgiveness, you're gracious and you're compassionate. You're slow to anger and abounding in the loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. And, you know, looking up those words, if you just look them up in the dictionary, you know, with forgiveness and just with that particular word there, just someone who is just really, not all that forgiveness is, but someone who's just really quick to do that. Right? One who is very quick to forgive. Gracious is just, you know, courteous and kind. But it's interesting in the word loving kindness, if you look it up in like our dictionary, it'll lead you back to the Bible because there's really no word for that. Because there's just kind of two words taken in there, put in our language. And I thought that was pretty interesting how they like refer to Hebrew scholars or Bible to try to find out what that word loving kindness. So it's just, and that's not, I wish we had time to kind of go into that. But it seemed like in the slow thing here, since the God of this world is trying to blind our minds to keep us from that, in our relationship with God, that's the one he magnifies the most, right? That God in his dealing with us is angry, you know. If you want to go back and listen, I think it was Sunday and last Wednesday night, Bishop was talking about that, about the love of God being satisfied on the cross, not the anger. You know, it's really good. And but even more so in our relationship with him is so important, because when God deals with us, a couple of months ago, I was talking about that, how God deals with us as the new creature, the new creations, and that even in everything in my life, that's how he deals with me. And so in my union with him, and he's dealing with me as the new creation, then who he is, God is love, then when I'm encountering him and I'm in his presence, then everything that love is, is how God deals with me in my personal relationship with him. Now, when I'm trying to take this in a real personal thing, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, you've heard me do that a lot. I'll go back and read that a lot just to make sure that I'm walking in that. But sometimes I go back there and look at it and see if God is love, then that's how he deals with you, right? So if the very first thing is he talks about in here is that love is patient, right? And God's dealing with me, then he's patient with me, right? He's kind, right? Very second thing here, love is patient, love is kind, right? That means God is very. Now, if you think about it in your walk, in our warfare, it's easy for your minds to flip to that God is very impatient with you, right? Because mostly we're impatient with ourselves. We want the change, but God is very patient with us. And when he's dealing with me, just the everything about his forgiveness, all these things we talked about, that he's gracious, he's compassionate, all those things are about his character, can be summed up in his love, right? But I can't tell you how changing that is to me and people I try to minister to, because when I look back through things, or people teaching, you know, young believers how to pray, or how do you get into God's presence, one of the first things everyone of them will say is the first thing you need to do is when you pray or get into God's presence is, and we do it too here, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, is to confess your sin, right? Pretty much kind of telling ourselves, unless I do that, then there's this block here between me and the Lord. So it gets us to be real sin-conscious people when the Lord is actually trying to break us out of that. So you're not walking around with a sin consciousness. Now, the word to confess just means to agree with, and it's cool because I know that if the Lord is patient and kind with me and we're talking about anything in me, and I'm doing the whole Psalm 139 where David says, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any hurtful way in me." You know, what he was just telling the Lord is, Lord, if there's anything in me that's blocking me being able to receive all that you are, move it, right? Because the whole thing he's talking about in there is just God, how God wonderfully made him and how he made his unformed substance, and the thoughts of the Lord are so many. That's where you get that outnumber the sand, right? All of it's talking about this wonderful thing. And then the last thing David's praying is, God, if there's anything in me that blocks this, please remove it, right? And that's a great relational prayer thing, right? It's not a thing that I fear him, that I have to come before him and fear him because he's just ready to blast me. No, that's a good thing, right? I want it out of there. But I'll just go over a couple of these. We just do not have time. But if you get a chance today, if you want to, sometime this week, just go over that and just let the Lord just speak to you. He's patient. He's kind. Some of these about just not being jealous or envious or brag. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It's a really cool one. Meaning that God dealing with me, you know, that if it is a wrong suffered, he's not taking that into account against me, right? God reconciled us to men. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not counting men's sins against them, right? So in my walk with him and my relationship and the love of God to me, when I'm in his presence, he's just not taking that thing and counting it against me, right? I don't know if you're anything like me, but this is just a constant mind renewal thing, isn't it? Because if you're not really experiencing the love of God for who he really is, then you're not really loving yourself, right? If I can't love God or receive love, And if I'm not doing that, then I'm definitely not loving each other. So that's where we really start. Learning how first to let God love on us teaches us how to love ourselves. Because if I take into account a wrong suffered that I've done really harsh on myself, then that's not who he is, right? So that's the reason I just mentioned that one. Knowing that you can come to his presence and he's not going to hold that against you, right? Matter of fact, he'll really talk with you about that. And you'll be so glad to hand it over and give it up. I mean, it'll just be an amazing thing. But verse 7, we'll stop there because it's got so much here. I really love these. I was kind of just meditating on a lot of this today. It bears all things, which means covers it, right? Love never fails, it says in here. But in Peter, it says love covers a multitude of sins, right? So the love of God, it bears out, it covers you, covers me, because that's just what it does, right? And that covers that thing, it covers our sin. It believes it, all things. So the love of God believes in you. Whether you believe in yourself or not, right? He believes in you, right? The places you want to go or be and all that you want to, you know, if you think about in this life, every place you want to be with the Lord, he believes that in you, right? So in his love and who he is with you and your union with Christ, there's this heartbeat of God saying, I believe in you, right? You can get there. I believe in you. And it hopes all things, just full of hope, and it endures. So if I'm not, so I'll know whether I'm really encountering the love of the Lord or in my union with him and my relationship, I should always come away from my experience with him full of hope. Right? He's a God of all hope. He's spoken hope. He's speaking hope into me. He is covering me. He believes in me. Right? And you come away from that, and it endures all things, right? It's long suffering, enduring, all those kind of cool things. Because that's just who he is. I mean, it's just a drop in the ocean of what we're talking about today. But, it's a transformative thing because it's very foundational, right? And then it begins to flow over into your relationships that you have around you, right? Because so many things I speak out of my mouth about me, right, in my life, and it will come out of my mouth toward those around me, to TC and to my girls, right? And it's got to fall in here too. Do I speak things that believing in them, hope and enduring? I remember one thing in particular with one of my girls. Man, I was just wanting to, I thought, well, I know how I'll handle this. I'm just going to continue to show her how wrong it is, right? And eventually she'll get how wrong this is, so I'll stop doing this. And the Lord spoke a word to me. I was driving home one day, and he said, don't condemn her. And I was asking him how to handle this. He said, don't condemn her. And that's all he said. I knew what he was saying, right? No condemnation in Christ Jesus, that he doesn't condemn me. So therefore, you're not to condemn her, because the condemnation you speak to her is not going to change her. What's going to change her is the love of God, right? And he's like, I'm big enough to speak to her. You know, I'm big enough to do this, but don't condemn her. You know, and I had my condemnation gun was pretty loaded that day, right? I was just going to kind of blast her. But it's a real interesting thing the Lord did, even within me, that kind of broke loose that day. And again, such a cool thing about being in union with him. So pray that prayer. Ask the Lord in this season, in this time, to take you deeper than you've ever gone before in your identity and your union with Christ. Because if I'm in union, that means I'm in union with this heart. I'm in union with the love of God. And I want all of that. I want to have a revelation of that for me personally, because it's helped me dealing with, especially when you do things or you blow it or, you know, continually do things that you wish you wouldn't do, think, or say, right? And then the way he treats you continually, it just transforms you, right? So, well, Lord, I just pray that for every person here, every person that's listening or will hear this, that, Lord, this season of joy and all this, the roaring of the lion and the fulfillment of everything, God, is all comes out of. And your church, shining brighter, is a church who just realizes who she is, that she is already the spotless, blameless bride of Christ. Lord, take us like never before. Let the blinders fall off of our eyes, as Paul prayed. We can see even more into that, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, and everywhere that the God of this world has blinded us, Lord, show forth the glory of God and who we are in Christ, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.